Just a little housekeeping. Oh, that's loud, huh? Too loud? No, really? It's like, boy, my ears. Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to talk about awareness tonight. It's all I ever talk about. It seems like it's all I ever talk about because it's what I always want to talk about because it's so amazing, the power of recognizing our innate natural awareness as it becomes steadier and steadier. It's so liberating, and awareness is so available, and it's so overlooked by us in our life. You know, it's like the Tibetan saying, you know, it's closer than your eyelids, why you can't see it. And you know, and then when we do notice awareness of something, it's like, the something that we're aware of pulls us in more. Even if we dislike it, I dislike it. So there's a lot more juice than, oh, awareness of dislike, you know. So we get in there. And so it's just such an amazing, liberating, beautiful, freeing, completely natural and no quality non-thing. So I just will talk a little more, just a bit of elaboration really about the way, about our practice here, or the practical way, really how we cultivate the steady, stable recognizing, simple awareness, simple recognizing what's happening, whatever's happening, and how some of the ways, not the only ways, but some of the ways that that really works to really open our heart and mind from the kind of dream of constriction and reactivity and loneliness and fear to the potential to just be here with oneself, with others, in a different way. Still here, though. So, you know, just briefly, we're all familiar with the Buddha's story. I won't go into that. But the point, really, that when he awoke and declared himself the peaceful one, really free from the torments, the suffering of the afflictive emotions, living a life of ease and peace, the point to recognize is the world didn't change. You know, he's living in a human body with a human mind, with other human beings, and the nature and the world didn't change. And so the freedom, the peace he discovered was not about somehow making everything better. It didn't mean the body doesn't get sick. It didn't mean any of that. So what is the peace, the freedom, what's the direction that he opened up, pointed to us in so many other spiritual ways too, and what is the direction we can begin to, in little moments, start to get just a glimpse, an intuition, you know, an apprehension of how this is really a possibility, moments in moments, here and now. How can conscious awareness, the steady, mindful awareness of just what's happening, affect our understanding of the world in such a way? Because that's what changes, the understanding, how we understand ourselves and understand the world and the responses and reactions and qualities that arise in our heart and mind based from that understanding. An example of some, a while ago, I was listening to a talk by Anam Tupten, who's a Tibetan Lama who lives in the Bay Area in California. I like him very much. He's funny, but he's very, I don't know, I just like him. He's tuned in. But this really stuck with me. It was last year, but this could be now. It's just more and more true. But he's saying, you know, now he's talking about what the really challenging times that we're all living in, how really distressing things are. And he said, we're so easily that we can be overwhelmed by the challenges, personal, in the world, whatever particular one is hitting us at a certain time. We're so easily overwhelmed and as if pulled into a whirlpool of worry, of fear, of anger, self-blame, other blame. It's like in this whirlpool of really suffering emotions and thoughts and just spinning in that. Can anybody relate to that at all? And we can be sort of aware, you know. Sometimes it's such a habit we don't even know. We just shoot, you know, the particular thing that distresses us comes up, or we hear something, or you read one line of the news, that's enough often, and into the whirlpool. Sometimes we're just spinning helplessly in it. Other times you can, even we've been cultivating awareness and wisdom, but still, you know, can be sucked in. And he says, this is him, we're swirling in this whirlpool, in this world, and it's kind of, you know, the way of the world. And it's often, in my opinion, exacerbated just by how things are. So, for example, I don't know if you've noticed it, often when you see on TV or something, there's been some kind of, say, a disaster, something like a cyclone, say, you know, not even something deliberately caused by other humans, but a cyclone, and some news person runs up to someone whose house has been destroyed, sticks the microphone in their face and says, "Who do you blame for this?" Have you noticed that? They're so often asking, "Who do you blame?" as the first response, the first thing someone should say. You know, immediately, if anything bad happens, there's definitely got to be someone to blame. And often we blame ourselves. And sometimes I've seen this, sometimes, I mean, I could be projecting, right? I don't know what's in the person's mind. But it looks like they're kind of taken aback, and then they kind of clock and they're figuring out who they should say they could blame. You know, we got to blame someone. But anyway, this cycle, we can really so get pulled in that, as Anam Tupten says, when this happens, notice how when we lose touch with the natural dignity of love and compassion and wisdom, when we're spinning in this swirling of fear and anxiety and blame, self or other, we've lost touch with what the Dalai Lama was, what I said last night, you know, our true human values. When we lose touch with present moment awareness, I'm back to Anam Tupten. So, he says, we practice in order to re-recognize awareness again and again. How can that be so powerful? Because when we're not just sucked into the swirl, but suddenly aware of the swirl, it's not that all of that magically goes away and we're just living on some cloud of peace. But the shift from being sucked into that swirl, as he's saying, of pain, to the awareness of it, restores that in, that confidence, that take in the refuge, the trust in that moment with awareness, rather than giving all the energy and belief to the emotions and the story as being me. We practice to re-recognize awareness, and with it comes its access to kindness and compassion. And these we can offer to the world. That's what Anam Tupten's saying. And that's like an amazing power that recognizing awareness can have. And you don't have to believe what he's saying or what I'm saying. I'm just saying it as an example, as a pointing. It's just something to have a look at in our practice, in our time here. It doesn't have to be the huge swirl of the most suffering experience. It can be that, you know, you stub your toe walking up the stairs up there and you're right, oh, how can they should have a sign on these stairs. Or that person saw me behind, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. That's a little mini swirl, but we can get in it. Practice just the awareness of embarrassment feels like this. It doesn't mean the embarrassment goes away, but that Velcro, that sucked into it, that being the embarrassment, what do they think? It changes completely. Awareness of embarrassment, the awareness isn't embarrassed. Little things. Check it out. Explore it. The steadiness of awareness, incredibly powerful. So that's our practice. One definition of Vipassana meditation that this is from Sayadaw Tejaniya, but it fits, it's not just his, that I like. And Alexis without saying this, he alluded to it when he was talking this morning. Vipassana meditation is experiencing the mind and body directly from moment to moment with the right understanding. Sometimes Sayadaw Tejaniya calls that the three jobs of a yogi. Experiencing the mind and body, that's simple mindfulness, simple recognizing what's happening. From moment to moment, that's the perseverance, the steadiness, the continuity through the day. And with the right understanding, and that's what makes it right mindfulness, not I know what's happening, but lost in thought. So I'll say a little bit about each of those. So knowing, experiencing the mind and body directly. Simple sati, samasati, right mindfulness as it's described in the Noble Eightfold Path. None of this is anything none of you don't know, right? You've all been practicing, you all know mindfulness. And the idea of just simple mindfulness, the awareness, the attention, simply being with what's arising, so simple, just as it is, without adding anything extra. So a sensation arises, you know. And so you can just feel it. Maybe the perception, which is that recognition, just a factor of mind, might come in and say tight or hurts or something. It's just that. Sati recognizes it as that and leaves it as that. It doesn't, it's free from elaboration, from preference, from judgment, from what does it mean about me, from comparing to how it was yesterday, from how we wish it was another time, from thinking it means I have to go to the hospital, from all of that. It's simply sensation. You get a sense of how totally easeful our lives could be if we could really live like that? And the mind goes, no, you can't just have sensation because you have to function. You have to be able to function. You can't just be hearing sensation, sensation. You know, you have to know that the sound of the bell means you get up and walk out. Once I was on a retreat myself, 3-month retreat, and I'd been sitting quite a while. It was deep into it. And I was practicing, not exactly in this style, a little more directed attention, but it's still the same mindfulness. And I would just be noticing what happened. So I started coughing. I'd cough, cough. I'd feel tickle, tickle. Cough, cough. And I'd notice hearing, seeing. So there wasn't a lot of elaboration at this point. It was pretty mindful. Cough, cough. And then at one point, cough, cough. Oh my gosh, I've got bronchitis. That was a thought. But I at that time, I used to get bronchitis quite a lot and I'd get really sick from it. So it had that thought had a little bit of oomph to it, unnoticed. Oh my God, I've got bronchitis. What am I going to do? Oh, cough, cough, tickle, tickle. You don't have to do anything. I didn't have to do anything. And then the whole thing calmed down. I could just be noticing. But it doesn't mean you don't know what's happening. If it had kept getting worse without being reactive, the thought, oh, this is bronchitis, could arise. There'd be the sense, do I need to go to the doctor? Do I not? You can, thinking arises, thinking is known. Mindfulness can be aware of all of the six senses, all the physical and the mental sense. We can know what's happening. That's not the same as all the reactivity and elaboration that comes when it isn't quite mindfulness, when we're getting confused with the reactions. That's where everything goes wonky, right? When it's not just hearing or seeing, or you're sitting here feeling tired in the sense, okay, feeling tired is like this, and awareness notices tired. And really, it's not a problem. It's tired. It doesn't mean it feels good, doesn't feel good, feels like this. What makes the difference here? The right understanding that the Buddha talked about, that Utejaniya was talking about there, but when we be mindful with the right understanding, what keeps it, allows it to be simple without adding all this elaboration, is when there's not that adding to the experience, me or mine. So sensation arising, sensation. And this can you can see it in your own practice. It doesn't need some great esoteric, deep concentration to see this. It could be something simple like a little niggle in the back. You just feel it, and you're just aware and noticing things. And then, well, like my bronchitis, suddenly the thought comes, oh my God, this could really be a bad thing in my back. Now, if that thought's noticed, already it's become my sensation, my back. That thought comes up and there's a little bit fear, a little bit aversion in that. The afflictive emotion has started to kind of feed out of the mindfulness, and it starts to distort the mindfulness. So what was just a little sensation, now is my back, my pain. How long can I sit with this? And then the kind of the aversion starts getting stronger. There's more thoughts about it. We start having memories of our past life. I mean, this life, past times in this life. We just stay in this life. It's enough to deal with. And start worrying about the future. Start looking at everyone else. Start thinking, who's to blame? Those teachers for making us sit so long. This was the stupidest thing I ever did in my life. And so blah, 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 blah. We're way, way, way down the line from simple sensation or simple unpleasant feeling. This is where the afflictive emotions, the torments of mind, come up and multiply. And it all starts from that subtle sense of me, that subtle sense of mind, which is arising. It arises and passes. It arises so much of the time. But there's times that it doesn't. But so when they're not recognized, these kilesas, the torments, when something arises and we don't quite see them, that's when it's not the simplicity of mindfulness. That's when we've got the beginning of a little mini whirlwind or a really big one. One other thing that can happen in the way we're practicing here, with just awareness, noticing whatever's occurring, and maybe nothing that's particularly difficult comes, but seeing, hearing, sensation. Yeah, I don't mean you should be noting. I'm just saying it because I'm talking. I can't just go inward and be feeling stuff and project it to you mentally. But you're just noticing things, and then suddenly it's like, boring. I mean, there's nothing, so what? Seeing, hearing, smelling, so what? I mean, we want to bring in awareness to have some insight. It's called insight meditation, right? So it'd be something a little bit more interesting than hearing, oh, that person's coughing. Okay, coughing. I don't like it. Okay, not liking. Kind of boring. Again, we don't quite recognize it as one of the afflictive states, but that's delusion covering over. It's a subtle disconnect. When we're saying boring, it's too mundane. It's not really interesting enough. It's a subtle pulling away, a subtle aversion, and I see for myself, that could be present a lot in life. When we're actually feeling rather at ease, we're not in a lot of wanting, a lot of aversion. And it can be like a pseudo heading towards equanimity. Oh, yeah, it's peace. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's fine. It's nice. Okay, it's like this. Whatever. You want to go out? Whatever. It's all equanimous. No, it's all disconnect. But when there's that, really that relaxing, that opening, that really committing, trusting to just open with fullness of presence into this moment, whatever it is. As Deepa Ma, who was a wonderful Bengali woman, really, really profound, deep practice, who died in the, when was it? In the late 80s, I think, early 90s. You never saw her, Nisha, did you? She was like about this tall, from here, not from there. But anyway, she said, when you're really awake, nothing is mundane. Nothing is mundane. When awareness is recognizing experience, that being confidence, having confidence, resting in the awareness, rather than looking to the experience to affirm us or give us meaning or feel good or feel bad, just awareness is so it's not necessarily joyful, but it's just alive. And so that's, I think, why I just keep wanting to talk about it and keep inviting us all to keep recognizing more and more, because it's such a little shift from being aware of an unpleasant sensation to being in the unpleasant sensation. It doesn't go away, but that shift to the awareness of it, sort of like what I was reading from Anam Tupten, though that was a stronger experience. It's amazing, because the thing is still occurring. The suffering about it is gone. Even if it's just a quick moment, and when you recognize that, you don't. It's not me recognizing, it's just like that. It's just obvious. And as we go through the practice, and just our practice here, just moment after moment, remembering, that's all, nothing special. All these mundane experiences, so-called, everything that arises, we can be aware of this. It's a doorway to just simply recognize, oh yeah, awareness again. Oh yeah, here's awareness. Oh yeah, awareness of hearing, awareness of boredom. Awareness, there's nothing awareness can't notice. And as I think Alexis said, as we go through the days, awareness gets a bit more natural. What really gets natural is we trust it a little bit more. We have a little more confidence, a little more willingness to recognize it. And it's not that we don't recognize because we're just, you know, recalcitrant and obtuse and stupid, but the habits of our mind, the habits of how we've learned to relate to life are just so strong. The habits that bring us into this identification with experience and the reactions of the afflictive emotions. And one of the main ways these habits form, and are, they form moment to moment to moment, but because they form moment to moment, they're also ceasing moment to moment. Remember, nothing's more than a moment. Something Ajahn Sumedho said, I liked how he described it. He was just describing just how we live in these bodies. We are these bodies and minds. And he says, I like his phrasing, we live as sensitive forms. In other words, with the five sense doors and also the mind, experiencing constant input, aren't they? Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, emotions. If you close your eyes, as Alexis said, there's still kind of visual images. You can stop your ears, but there's still, you know, some sound going on. It's not like we're trying to shut stuff out. But try, no, don't try, but you couldn't go through the day, you couldn't go through 5 minutes without constant sense input, right? That's what our life is. The five senses and the mental one. And as the Buddha described, and you all know this, every sense contact we experience with the Vedana, with a quick feeling tone in the mind of it either being, you know, slightly pleasant, slightly unpleasant, or kind of neutral. That the Buddha thought that little experience of subtle pleasant or subtle unpleasant or neutral with each contact was so important to bring mindfulness to that when he, in the sutta Alexis talked about, the four foundations, the Satipatthana Sutta, four foundations of mindfulness, he just broke experience into four different areas to talk about. First is the body, the second is Vedana. He broke that out as being just so key to explore. Why? Because with the steady awareness of seeing how it works, the truth reveals itself and we can come not get so caught in the habit. So I just want to describe it a bit. Because so this constant sense contact, right, from the moment we're born, arising together with pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, this is going on, arising and ceasing, arising and ceasing. You get the drift. I mean, it's kind of understandable in a way how frequently we can tend to space out when we're not really aware and when we tend to get caught in our reactions to pleasant or unpleasant, because we seek, you know, sense experience, but well, maybe never. Maybe this isn't true for any of you, but I've certainly noticed there's times when I'd really like a break from the constant arising and passing, arising and passing, pleasant, unpleasant, pleasant, unpleasant, seeing, hearing. You don't even realize, you know. But if there's a little bit of reactivity in you, at not at all of them, but at many of them, that's one of the reasons things are so tiring. We don't even notice that. So the right information, again, is like, so there's a sound, slightly pleasant. That can be noticed, and that's all. The right information is that's just what's happening. Awareness notices. There doesn't have to be anything extra. As soon as the sense of me or mine comes in, that sound is unpleasant. My unpleasantness, it's bothering me. There's the constriction. There's, even though it's little, even though it's very subtle at the first, that's the beginning in that moment of the afflictive emotion, right? Ah, it's so hot. Heat, heat. I'm hot. I'm really hot. And you, just that little bit of difference, it's not saying right or wrong, good or bad. We're saying we can bring awareness to notice this too. This is where the steadiness of mindfulness through the day is what allows us to, we don't have to even look for it, just stay steady with awareness. Keep coming back when you realize it's gone. You can't help but notice the difference. Notice how as soon as the sense of this sound is bothering me, and if you stay awareness, you can notice a little bit of tightness, a little bit of thought, what can I do? What's the matter? That person is making that sound, and they are making me feel aversion. That shouldn't be happening. Susan and I were just laughing because, in a way, I said, no one else can make us feel aversion. Aversion arises in our heart and mind when there's unpleasant, and there's a sense of holding on to that unpleasant and getting really falling into the spiral. Awareness can recognize this really feels unpleasant, and that's it. Nothing extra. But you see, as I'm saying this, that doesn't sound like amazing, wonderful freedom, does it? You didn't come here to say, oh, I can sit and feel my back hurting and say, oh, that's just unpleasant sensation, nothing extra. And they're telling me that's freedom. I don't think so, you know. But we start where we are. And you will have like the subtle, oh, my back's hurting. Okay, pain, it's just pain, it's just pain. And the clinging to the aversion can be so subtle that we don't quite recognize it, you know? We're trying, really trying to be mindful. In the back of the mind, way back there, if I'm mindful correctly with this unpleasant sensation, that means it goes away, right? Because they said then that that's freedom. Freedom means this unpleasant thing's going to go away. That is such, that just keeps getting in there. Again and again and again, I can't tell you how often I'll find being with something, I'm really quite aware, I know there's aware, I noticed the thoughts of aversion, so it feel, I'm really aware, but it's still, you can still feel you're caught. You can still feel that little swirl is going on. And you start trying to look and see what's the swirl, but the looking is colored by aversion. I'm looking to see why am I swirling and why is this stupid thing still here? When I'm being mindful, it keeps slipping in. And then, because we keep practicing, you recognize, okay, I don't like it. I think I'm mindful, I don't like it. And suddenly, because when we're with awareness, awareness can be with aversion. Awareness can be with greed, simply another thing happening. The aversion and the greed might be strong enough that it keeps arising and you really bring awareness of it. But at some point, the attention is feeding the awareness, not the greed. At some point, that clinging, that Velcro drops away, and it's just, oh. And it really is just sitting there with a sensation, and there's no problem. It might not last long, but notice when that happens. That's what I mean by the sense of a subtle an apprehension, starting to see how these things can work. It's really quite, it turns into a real voyage of discovery. A real voyage. How is the mind working? How do these afflictive emotions arise in this heart mind in this moment? And how do they cease in this same heart mind in another moment? All we need to do is just step back into this moment of noticing what's happening. We don't have to figure it out intellectually. We don't have to try and change what's happening. Life is doing itself. A simple awareness is just to notice that. Notice that without adding the story of me to it. And when that story comes up, awareness notices that too. So what we're really starting to do is trust more and more and more the simplicity of awareness. Our habit is to look to the objects, right? Look to, okay, a really beautiful experience, or some wonderful experience happens in the meditation, or something wonderful happens in your life, or something difficult happens, or just, you know, a sound you don't like. But the habit is, with the pleasant, the unpleasant, we're so used to taking that as pleasant is good, right, the way it's supposed to be. Unpleasant is bad, wrong. There's something wrong with me or something wrong with the world. We go to blame if that happens. Neutral, we don't notice. And without being aware of that, that's where we get into the wanting, always leaning into something nicer, better, or holding on to this. The pushing away, trying to get rid of the stuff that we've decided isn't good. And it's always about, what does it mean about me? How is it fulfilling me or affirming me or making me feel that there's something wrong with me because this is arising? Do you get a sense of how complicated that makes? And it's completely our habit. So walking out of here, you start, oh, look, I'm doing all this me-ing. Of course you are. We all are. It's also not personal. It's just a habit, and awareness notices that. You just get interested in seeing how this works. Seeing how, oh, just be with what is. Just be with what is. But I don't like what is. Okay, be with not liking. And we don't trust that at first because we're so used to getting our sense of needing from objects and wanting the good ones and wanting to get rid of the bad ones. We're we're caught in that. It's like gravity. It seems so true, we don't even recognize it. That's how this moment-to-moment steady awareness is so radical. Because it's like, just really drop into what's happening now and know that you're noticing it. Why it's so difficult, and that's a whole other talk, is because all of our habit is to get the heck away if it's unpleasant. And if we're trying to get away, there's no way of recognizing what's actually happening, right? So that's why it's practice. That's why I talk about the huge swirl that Anam Tuptum talked about, or all the pain in the world, or something difficult in your life. What's useful about being on a retreat is you can work with, it's the same way the mind works with stubbing your toe, right? It works in the same way. Use these little experiences. That's why we talk about the steadiness through the day. Whatever you're doing is mindfulness practice, because that's where we're really going to go on this voyage of discovery and see how the mind works. So don't try to think I shouldn't have aversion. That doesn't work. When aversion comes up, how is it? How do you recognize it? How does awareness notice aversion? And as Ajahn Sumedho always says, instead of going, aversion's like this. That doesn't help everybody. It helps me a lot. When something's going on and I'm trying to name it, I'm trying to see it, but it feels too busy. I can tell there's efforting. I can tell there's doing, I'm not spaced out, but, it's like this now. I don't even try to name it. It's like this now. Attention completely opens, drops into the body mind. It's like this now. You just open and feel it, just for that moment. It's a world of difference. The shift from identifying with something to awareness of it. It's so nothing and it's so everything. So that's why being on retreat 7 days, 7 nights, with all the little stuff that goes on, and each moment is equally valuable for recognizing awareness and seeing, letting the steady awareness show us how the mind works, how suffering's created, how when the afflictive emotion isn't being fed, the compassion comes, or the metta for oneself, or the generosity, how that naturally comes. So many chances to see that, and it doesn't have to be any kind of wonderful experience. some of the biggest kind of insights where you suddenly, oh, I really see it. They can come just from, I don't know, touching the silverware and feeling the coldness. Or one time I remember I was very aware of eating and chewing and swallowing, and then I swallowed and it was so clear. I mean, this sounds silly, but that's how insights are sometimes. It was so clear that the food was gone. It's gone. It's really gone. I mean, this is like a huge, you know, wow, it really was here and now it's really gone. It's turned to something else. Little things, you know, just that's how it is. Don't be waiting for some big lights going off moment and thinking that you're sitting here with tinnitus in your ears and you're sick of listening to me talk and you wish you could go to bed. That's the moment, because this is the only moment we have to really be here. So it's a whole, this starting to and continuing to really bring our confidence, our trust into awareness. It's a beginning to abandon our entrancement with experience, with samsara, this endless round of sensations and wanting and losing and wanting and losing and just wanting more and more sensation. I heard this advertisement on the radio last week. It was for Disney World. Going on about this and that, screaming and yelling. And right at the end, the guy, the announcer says, Disney World, every amazing feeling ever and all at once. That's really true. I thought, oh my God, it sounds like a nightmare. But that was their, you know, their ultimate advertisement to get you to come. This is the world we live in. Then I thought later, what if that was true? Then what would the poor six-year-old kid, they had every amazing feeling you could ever have all at once. What are they going to do for the rest of their life? Anyway, when you put it like that, right, it's like, it's kind of nice to put down that entrancement. It's beyond kind of nice to be able to just be present in this moment without all the reactivity, without needing it to be other, without needing something to fulfill me. And we can only begin to know and trust this from our own experience. We're just up here just trying to share as a, hopefully just to, you know, entice you to keep looking, entice you to keep looking, because this sense of steady awareness is always available. The movement from identification and wanting and aversion to, oh, it's like this. It's always available. When the afflictive emotions are so strong, yeah, sometimes we can't quite notice awareness. And as we go through the days, that's one of the ways we can give little tips, you know, about meditating, how to take care of our awareness, to move it away from the all-compelling difficulty to something more neutral. You'll hear us say it's not about get a better object. It's about what supports recognizing awareness, taking care of awareness. So we start. Every moment, the Dhamma is revealing itself. So that's why, as we go through these days, the perseverance, the third part, the third job of the yogi, is this, of course you can't be mindful every moment. Of course not. Don't even think that. Or you can think it, but just notice you're thinking it. But when we've forgotten, the next moment can remind, oh yeah, right, touching. All right, stepping. All right, thinking. And it doesn't matter what was going on before. We're here again. We're here again. And as we said, that becomes more natural. Right now it's not natural because we're entranced by what's occurring. We're entranced by objects. As we get more, really you can kind of fall in love with awareness in a way that isn't personal. We still know what's happening. Maybe more clearly because we're not so gripped by it. We can respond more appropriately and from wholesome states, from wisdom, from non-clinging, from non-blame, from non-greed, we can maybe have a clearer sense of appropriate action. So in our week here together, as we said, we're really not trying to achieve something in a short time or a long time. I know, this is what our minds know how to do. You know, you don't come here for 7 days, you should have something to show for it at the end. Well, If you do, it won't last anyway. Nothing does. But we're here to have all these moments to practice recognizing awareness. That's an incredible gift in the world. And as Anam Tupton said, when we, in any moment when we can relax back into awareness, there's that sense of the dignity that allows for the beautiful qualities of heart and mind to arise. And that's then what we share with the world. When we're lost in our afflictive emotions, that's what we share with the world. So we're not trying to achieve something. We're simply using this time, whatever we're doing, to practice recognizing awareness. Starting from the mindfulness, what's happening now? And then recognizing, oh, we're aware of what's happening now. Just, that's all. So simple. And once we start to trust that a little, when we can relax into that a little bit, we stop thinking subconsciously we have to have some kind of worthwhile experience to be mindful, to talk about, not just seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, you know. When that starts to relax, we start to trust the recognition of awareness. It's, everything starts to shift. So that's really what we're doing here. So Ajahn Sumedho says, awareness is not about making value judgments about our thoughts, our emotions, our sensations. It's not about making value judgments. Awareness is about knowing these things fully. They are what they are at this moment. It's a kind of a total freedom to receive life just as it's arising in this moment, just as you experience it. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to make some meaning. You don't have to say, what does it mean about me? Just receive it as it arises in this moment. That's why the continuity is so key. So another little practice hint from Utejaniya. As we're going through the day, whatever's arising, awareness of it, just very simple. But remember, we're not trying to create something. We're not rejecting what is happening. And as things begin to happen or they stop happening, say something difficult stops happening, we go, oh, we don't forget awareness either. A lot of times when we're really working with something and it goes away, we go, oh, thank God, you know, like when the bell rings, oh, thank God, you know, we just forget awareness. We don't forget. Acceptance of an experience does not mean we forget about being aware. Acceptance means we're really more present because we're not struggling with it anymore. So I just want to end with a couple of short quotations. From Mingyur Rinpoche, discovering our own awareness allows us to access the natural steadiness and clarity of the mind, the natural, which exists independent of conditions and circumstances and independent of our emotions and moods. This is a big one to start to trust. Awareness is aware of our emotions and moods, but it allows us to access the natural steadiness and clarity of mind independent of our emotions and moods. Awareness does not increase or decrease whether we are happy or sad. We don't attain awareness. Rather, we learn to recognize it. And the effect this can have on our life, I just want to read one thing from Ajahn Chah. You know, he was a great Thai forest monk, meditation master from the last century. He was the teacher of Ajahn Sumedho and kind of the founder of that whole school of monks and nuns from Amaravati. He's very down to earth. I just picked this book up somewhere. Everything is teaching us. Just the name is good. Everything is teaching us. So whenever a person's mind enters the Dhamma, then the person has well-being. The person has a mind at peace. The mind then has a way to resolve difficulties. When pain and illness afflict the body, the mind resolves it naturally. Understanding this is natural and not falling into depression or fear over it. Gaining something, we don't get lost in delight. Losing it, we don't get excessively upset. but rather we understand that the nature of all things is that having appeared, they then decline and disappear. With such an attitude, we can make our way in the world. We are Loka Widu, one knowing the world clearly. The Buddha was said to be the Loka Widu, knowing the world clearly. But when we're seeing just as it is in this moment, knowing the world clearly, then Samudaya, the cause of suffering, is not created. And greed is not born. There is wisdom, knowledge of things as they really are, and it illumines the world. It's a lot, but it really does arise from our willingness to just keep cultivating the simplicity of steady awareness. So, just like to sit quietly for a moment after the Dhamma sharing. Thank you for your attention. So there's a period for walking, and the next sitting at 8:45, you notice there's no ending time on that. You may have noticed that on this. It'll be short. It'll be short tonight. If as we've been saying, see what supports your relaxed awareness. If you're really tired, please listen to what's true in this moment. Awareness notices real tiredness. You're falling on your face. Please go to bed. You know, if you don't blame yourself. Don't get into it. There's no should, except just doing what's going to most support your willingness to be present with this moment. So welcome to come if you have energy. Welcome to have tea and go to bed if you're tired. And then same for tomorrow morning. So thank you all.